You're listening to The Naked Truth, Queer Artist Interviews. I'm Peter, your host, and together we're going to sit down and unzip with some amazing creators and learn the naked truth about their work, their lives, and what it means to make art as a queer person. Thanks for joining. This show explores the area of human sexuality and contains some adult content. Today I'm joined by Kieran Solly. He is an LGBTQ artist skilled in portraiture and figure drawing. He received his BFA in illustration from the Maryland Institute College of Art in 2015. Thanks so much for joining me.
Absolutely. Hi, Peter.
So we came into contact through the 5N Life Drawing Group, but by that time you had already gotten your degree from MICA and were just living in Baltimore. So can you talk a little bit about either what brought you to Maryland or how you came to be one of Baltimore's artists?
So I actually learned about the figure drawing group through the organizer, Grant, and he was gracious enough to introduce me to the group about midway through. It's a couple years in. So that was a great opportunity. I'd been at MICA for several years before then, and I graduated a couple years before.
Yeah, so talk a little bit about how you became interested in art in the first place. What's the Kieran origin story?
The impetus for me beginning my career in art was that I've been making art since I was about 3 years old. I wasn't exactly drawing on the walls, but it was pretty close to that. And there's always been this irrepressible artistic urge that I've had to create. And I've found that to be a real guiding force in terms of my artistic process.
So then in coming to MICA, was that something where it was, you know, you sort of bucking family expectations? Were you supported in pursuing art as a career or at least in education to possibly lead to a career?
I was absolutely supported in my decision to go to MICA. It was actually, I was a little bit prompted by my family. And then I had the choice between going to a university in California and then the Maryland Institute. And I discovered that I had the same amount of art classes either way, but the quality would be vastly different. I began watercolor several years before I'd gone to college. I started in high school. I really started before then, but I started refining my technique in gouache in high school, and I use it like watercolor. But the problem with that is that it's more opaque. So I had to make sure that I had a more transparent medium. And it took me taking a couple of classes in like this seaside town in California to learn more about the transparency of watercolor, sort of what colors are steadfast, color fast, and don't mix together in a muddy way. So I really refined my technique in Sea Ranch, California, and then used some of that in my final years at MICA.
So this might lead into talking just a little bit about your creative process, and that could be either from the standpoint of what inspires you to make a particular work or something more technical of the process. This kind of illustration or drawing, for lack of a better word, is one that has a lot of spontaneity to it, where part of it is controlled, but also part of it is seeing what happens chaotically and moving with that.
There is a chaos to the process. You never really know what's going to happen with watercolor. It could turn out terribly wrong, and I'm glad that it doesn't. My process is really organic. I pretty much eyeball whatever I'm looking at and try and get it down on paper. And that can lead to any number of expectations or realities. So I would typically get a different result every time.
Many of the examples of the artwork that's going to be in the show are from those drawing sessions. They really have a great sense of proportion about them. One I'd love to spend a little time talking about as either an example of your style or just to talk a little more about your artistic process is Ryan Lounging. This one is such an interesting mix of styles and textures and thickness of lines. And there's something about the deepness and the saturation of how much ink is around Ryan's face. And the mix between that and some of the very thin lines makes me think of Quentin Blake, who was the illustrator for a lot of the Roald Dahl books.
Yeah.
There's a whimsical quality to it, but also something a bit messy in a way that's delightfully perverse.
So I let myself get a little carried away with this one, actually. There was some interesting foreshortening happening with Ryan's legs, and I started out a little more on the technical side there. As you can see, there's two lines of the arm that's propped up behind his head. The thinner red line was where I originally had my proportions mapped out, and I kind of organically moved to the darker purple line, which was the actual proportion. So I tend to keep mistakes in my art as well. Like they'll kind of become a living, thriving part of the art itself. And I think that's really important as a process to sort of embrace the kind of the futility of the measurement. You can only do so much with the eye. And I think it's very important to sort of embrace your own personal ability to fail and pick yourself back up.
It's so funny that you mentioned that because I hadn't even perceived that red elbow, and then the shading helps cover it up, and it looks almost like it is accentuating the purple line of the elbow there. I think that's especially something that I'd love to hear you talk a little bit more about as being part of the nature of watercolor, owning your mistakes, if you will, or having to work through them.
Embracing failure is a must-have for watercolor, considering how difficult a medium it is. Once you make a mistake, it is there with you on the page, and you really can't do anything to eradicate it. You have to learn how to either cover it up or move with it in terms of process.
It's so funny to have spent time with so many of the people who are involved in this show, and then with people who I've met through the drawing group. I've seen a lot of your work, but some of the basic details, where did you grow up and how did you end up where you are now and who you are now, those are an open book for me as well as for our audience.
So I started out in a liberal suburb of Oakland, California, and I made my way all the way east, kind of to just start a new path for myself. And I ultimately realized how much of a part of the LGBTQ community I was while I was on the East Coast. It took me being that far away from my place of origin to really find my own origin story. I started out, closely knit with my triplet brother and sister, and still remain close with them to this day, but I really embraced my own difference when I moved out east.
So maybe we can talk a little bit about the one painting whose origin that I'm unaware of, and that's Rose. It is a figure study, of course, but it has a bit more of a narrative. It has an evocation because of the rose on a form, and the form itself is clearly on a surface. Can you talk about the origins of this painting and some of the process?
That painting had a couple different contours too, in terms of starting out and then where it ended up. I had a sketch that looked vastly different from the final product. That really came from, I wanted to make something provocative, and I was hearkening back to something I'd seen in a TV show where this guy had been naked and he had a rose clamped between his buttocks. And that really stuck with me. I was like, this would make an amazing illustrative story, if you will, sort of just in one image. It was something from the 90s or the early 2000s. I think it was 30 something. The form itself was entirely from memory. The original story that it harkens back to was with a figure standing and walking, but I decided that I want something a little more classical in the image and tried to harken back to something like Mapplethorpe, in terms of the provocativeness and being like on the nose, but not quite suggestive to the point of obscenity.
It's funny you mentioned Mapplethorpe because, of course, his photography is in black and white, and there's so much warmth in this. And you use that interplay of negative space with pure color rather than outlines of things, but it's just color forming the fields. It's very sensuous. There's something about that magenta in the right-hand side, which is very 90s.
That's great. I really feel inspired by color. While the shading and form are really important and the tone of a figure, I think there's really something to be said about the transformative power of color.
I'd like to talk a little more about any ways in which you feel there's a relationship between your art and your sexuality.
So something I really noticed in Grant's figure drawing group was sort of like a homophilia, if you will, like love of fellow man. In a platonic sense, at the very least, there's just an openness and frankness about embracing the male form that really stuck out to me. And I felt immediately welcome in the group and accepted. That really was another driving force behind me working with some of this imagery. I think I've gone to lengths in my artwork and my work in general that I wouldn't have necessarily reached without having such a driving force, a guidance.
Do you think, is this move towards the male figure, is that something that you feel has been brought on recently by being able to open up these spaces, or has your work always centered on the celebration of the male form and or maybe just figurative drawing more generally?
Well, I've always felt drawn to the human form in general, but I've had more opportunity in the models available to me. It was really unusual for me to be able to have such a resource to be able to draw the male form as much as I have in the past couple of years in Grant's Figure Drawing Studio. And I really felt sort of like a resonance in that opportunity, really stuck with me and informed my work.
So in the selection of pieces for this show, can you just tell us a little about the process of choosing these and how, what truth do these naked forms reveal?
I think there is sort of a linear process behind most of these images that reveals a clarity of form that really I would like to find a way to challenge in upcoming work and work in the future. I want to muddle through what it means to have a form be typically traditionally male versus what would be perceived as male nowadays. I've also, in the past, drawn any number of self-portraits or reflected pieces based on my own form and what forms are typically available for me to draw at the time. So I think there would be a lot of power and resonance in the option to portray a more transgressive gender protagonist, potentially. I think that there's a lot of freedom and expression there that I have yet to explore, and I'm excited for future opportunities.
Sure. So one of the questions that I've been asking of everyone is about the concept of nakedness. To talk about a place or a state of mind or anything, where is Kieran comfortable naked?
I'd say a very real place that unfortunately hasn't been able to happen this year has been the gathering of Idafalooza in Tennessee, where typically a bunch of people of gender variants can gather and be physically as clothed or unclothed as they would like. And due to the virus, it's been difficult to have this gathering happen this particular year, but I really miss it. I went for 3 or 4 years having that be one of the only safe spaces for me to express form personally.
I certainly hope that there's a possibility that we'll all be able to experience some more of these things in the future. And so then this is actually a perfect lead-in, and you might have already answered it, but let's say the happy day arrives, that the pandemic is under control, it's safe to go out and socialize and be however close and affectionate we'd like to be. What are you looking forward to in that future?
Oh man, honestly, having the possibility of living out more of my inherent polyamorous nature, it's been difficult because one of my partners is holed up in his home. So being able to see him again would be nice. Just the multiplicity itself is really refreshing. I find a traditional relationship structure can be really confining and kind of hidebound. And I think there's a lot of freedom to be found in different forms and methods of communication. Communication really binds everything together, though. You have to make sure that you're communicating on all levels to everyone present. So that's been the real challenge, is making sure that this level of communication remains present no matter what the barriers could be.
I hope that you're able to see each other sometime soon.
Indeed, agreed. I think the time will come.
There's some kind of resonance between that more open relationship structure and the kind of community that can be found at somewhere like the 5N Drawing Group, where there's one of the things I miss most is just giving a bunch of guys big hugs. That freedom of affection is something that is that I'm really struggling with finding ways to recover.
I agree. I think there's an expressivity and emotion and connection that exists when the traditional bounds of masculinity are shed in expressing affection towards other people in the same sort of gender spectrum. People in a similar gender alignment can really be freeing to sort of explore.
Well, thank you so much for spending some time with me, Kieran, and I'm really looking forward to your work being part of the show. Thanks for spending some time with us on The Naked Truth. If you want to learn more about this episode's artist, be sure to look through the links in the podcast description. Please consider how you can support the creative people on this show and in your community. Art helps us all get through, and that's The Naked Truth.